Welcome to Beerfield. I am your host, Chris Hopper, Beerfield Hop with Two P's, joined by Beerfield Thurry, Dan Thurry. How are you?
Oh, you know.
Think,
good.
I think Ryan Miner forgot we were going a different night or something, so he may show up if he shows up. We're going to do some combine reactions and recap, look and see. Couple running backs had some good performances. Tight end or two had some good performances. We had a wide receiver break some records. So we'll break all that down for you. And a lot happening in the news world to get to. So before we do that, as always, we are drinking. So let's go ahead and drink before we talk about the Buffalo Bills.
What's fueling beer fueled?
All right, Dan, what do you got?
So I got hailstorm out of Chicago. It's Irish Red season, so we are dipping into the Irish Red, called Southside Irish Red, obviously. So what's cool about them too is they have on their cans. I'll think get it to work, but if not, so it's got the flavor profile on it. So it's got dry and sweet. It's got, if it's, is it malty, is it bitter? Or then it, it's a lighter dark, obviously, based on the style. Irish Reds are going to be on the heavier copper caramel side in terms of color. So kind of cool. I like when breweries help out the novice out. By at least, you know, saying, is it malty or bitter, sweet or dry?
For sure. And Irish Reds have some variants to them. A lot of Americanized versions are going to be
this is sweet,
sweetie, sweet.
I tend to like mine a bit drier, but
I like mine breadier.
Yeah, it this is definitely bready, but a tad bit sweet.
All right, now I've got out of St. Louis, Missouri, Narrow Gauge Brewing Company. I think technically 4 cent, but whatever. So I'm drinking their Helles Gamed. It's a Munich style Helles. So malty with a dry, somewhat bitter finish. Pilsner malt, caramel hell, so carahels, and acidulated malt just for pH with Tettnanger hops they put on the side. So more on that about halfway through the episode. Let's go ahead and jump into the news because there's a lot of cap stuff going on. All right. Tyrann Mathieu is getting a deal reworked. I'm just going to run through this because a lot. Some of this is restructures. Some of this is players coming back, players leaving. Bills have done a lot. That's not just a joke. They've been like doing a lot of things today. So they re-signed Taylor Rapp to a 3-year deal, $14.5 million. This is after they released Saron Neal and Jordan Poyer earlier. So they're bringing back Rapp in place of Poyer on a little bit cheaper of a deal. Take care of that. So Poyer will hit free agency, still playing at a high level at the age of 33. Likely 1-2 year deal to go chase a title. The Bills have also re-signed Mitch Trubisky after he was released by Pittsburgh to back up Josh Allen. So he previously served in that role and knows the offense. Let's see, they restructured a deal with Von Miller, saving them $8.6 million. They had like $40 million over the cap, so they had a lot to do. They released Tre'Davious White after a couple Pro Bowl nods. Let's see, the Eagles released Avante Maddox. The Bills released their starting center, Mitch Morse. Connor McGovern's expected to take over there right now. Released their primary returner, Deontay Hardy. I think they restructured Rasul Douglas's contract. So a lot going on in Bills land, to say the least. And you're going to see that. I mean, there's a big cap bump, but you're going to see this from teams that are still over the cap, doing a lot of things like this. A lot of cuts, really between now and in June. A lot of restructures going on here. So just something to be aware of.
Yep.
On to other stuff, the Commanders signed Zach Ertz to a 1-year deal. This is after they cut Logan Thomas earlier this week. So he'll actually be in position to start with Cliff Kingsbury there for now. Year
for now.
from injury. So if he's got anything left, that's an interesting play, I guess. For tight ends, we know that he got used
in
that offense to a degree. So
true.
Texans re-signed Kenyon Fairburn. 3 years, $15.9 million. There's your kicker news for the week. Sorry, I didn't take notes beforehand, so I'm reading through shit as we go. and trying to skip over news. Broncos have granted Russell Wilson permission to speak with other teams after informing him that he will be released. This is expected by a lot of people, but it's like the largest dead cap hit in NFL history.
It's pretty nuts. They haven't even gotten to his actual extension that starts next year.
Yeah.
It like,
they could have just not done the extension.
It's so bad. Just like this finally takes the worst trade in NFL history. I think we can finally surpass the Herschel Walker trade. I know that we don't know who all the Broncos players or all the Seahawks players that are drafted with those Broncos picks, but to say the least, that Drew Lock and Russell Wilson have been kind of equal. The amount given up for them is pretty astronomical and just
I
bad.
I saw something the other day. There is a final tally on this. You do know who all they ended up.
Do
with.
We know all of them?
Yep,
okay,
they do. So they ended up with, so the Broncos got with Russell Wilson, Yanami something or another. Hold on. That's got a bunch of subscribers. Here we go. So they got, oh, for the love of God. Just let me see the site. All right. The Broncos got Russell Wilson and defensive lineman Uama Uzurike, which was what they used the fourth round pick on. I don't know anything about him. The Seahawks got back Drew Lock, Noah Fant, Shelby Harris, who's currently a free agent. Noah Fant, who didn't do much. Drew Lock, who served as a backup. Offensive tackle Charles Cross. Offensive linebacker Boye Mafe. Linebacker Tyreek Smith. Quarterback Devin Witherspoon. And edge Derek Hall. So we don't necessarily know how it's going to pan out yet based on the fact that a lot of those guys are in year one or two. But there's a lot of names there, I guess.
Doesn't look pretty, but there are names there.
Well, none of them are tied up with as much money as Russell Wilson was, and we'll just leave it at that.
That is true.
Just leave it at that. It's kind of interesting for things that might hurt long-term relationships. The Cowboys have did pick up a fifth-year option for Micah Parsons as a defensive end. Not a linebacker, which is actually $3 million cheaper. So essentially they had the choice, I guess, in this matter and decided to save $3 million versus reward their star linebacker. And to me, I know the NFL is a little bit more cutthroat, but this feels like the closest thing the NFL gets to MLB arbitration numbers, where you kind of have that choice on whether you want to reward your guy or not.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it. Which, you know, we know the players are out for money, right?
Yep.
And that just feels like a bad way to do things.
It's just, yeah. Like, the argument on what edge should be classified as, which has to be the case, because Parsons is that traditional outside. Outside linebacker edge should be linebacker, but
yeah.
We'll see if it does have any actual effect to it or not.
Yep. Let's see, Johnny Smith visited the Dolphins. Okay. Buccaneers and Mayfield have mutual interest. We know. Chargers released Eric Kendricks. Patriots interested in blah, blah, blah. Far back do I got to go? I'm only on yesterday. Browns and Joe Flacco have discussed a reunion for 2024, apparently.
I wonder if they'll try to move. Get desperate enough to try to move Watson.
Here we go. It could be, I guess. I mean, kind of impossible to do.
Right.
Colts assigned a franchise tag to Michael Pittman, I think, as most of us were expecting. We talked about that one a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, like, it wasn't confirmed, but I think we were all pretty confident that that was going to be the case.
Yeah, and, I mean, deadline's passed, so they did it. Belisario reported it.
Yeah.
$21.8 million on the tag. 109 receptions, 1,100 receiving yards last season. So, I mean, true wide receiver one numbers for Pittman. So, hopefully they get something done long term. Keep him there for a little bit. Although, with Richardson there, those numbers may regress some. Just different offense entirely.
Yeah.
Bears franchise tag Jalen Johnson, who was incredible last year. Seahawks released Will Disley. Okay, they also released Jamal Adams. This is why I do things ahead of time normally. Buccaneers tagged Antoine Winfield. That's not surprising. Texans re-signed Dalton Schultz to a 3-year, $36 million contract. That's something to discuss for a minute, I guess. Kind of in the junk tier tight end. He was serviceable last year, but 630 yards, 5 touchdowns firmly puts him in that no man's land of tight end 5 to like 9, basically.
Yeah, he's basically streamer with some plus. Dynasty, you have a guy that should be the starter there for a few years at least, probably two at the least, mm-hmm. if he sucks. And I guess that's what you can ask for, right? Because this year's class outside of Bowers and Sanders from Texas is just kind of meh, and you can't expect rookie tight ends to produce what we got last year. It's gonna really, really throw a bunch of people off. So I it's fine. Good for Schultz, right?
Should be solid on an offense that was spreading the ball around that showed some serious upside to it. So 89 targets the last two seasons. Pretty solid for a tight end. It was his first year in Houston. So, again, you're probably going to get mid-tier productivity, and you're okay with that. I mean, we talked about it, again, a couple weeks ago, where if you don't have an elite tight end, this is exactly just when you know you're competing, somebody you try to trade for.
Exactly. You know, for a backup. I don't know if I'm trading for him to be my pure starter, but.
Well, I mean, let me put it this way. You got a hole at tight end because on any given year, they're going to be, I would say, 2 to 3 playoff teams that go in with a hole at tight end, then you're going to have to try to plug it somehow. This is just my reality for a while. And this is is how you try to plug it, right? Because you need productivity now, so you really can't go grab a rookie. A rookie that's producing is going to cost a good amount of money, but a Dalton Schultz is on a 1 or 2 year production streak. You can probably pull away for less than premium value, plug it in for a year or two in a competitive window. I think
you can move a late. You can move a late.
You don't pay a premium. Late
second, third. Yeah, yeah. Like, you do it now. You try to, you know, gather up some streamers, and then you kind of hope one of them hits throughout the season, and then you make a move in season. Like, you're not trying to trade up for someone huge at this point.
Yeah.
You know, unless it's like a Laporta or I guess even Kelsey to an extent. McBride.
Yep. Yeah, even McBride. I mean, Kelsey, if you can get him.
You got to be careful with Kelsey.
You
got to
be careful
right
with Kelsey because you're still paying a premium for that, and he's at an age where it can be just, there was a bit of decline last year, and he could just call it quits it at any point. So, I mean, if Kelsey's a good point of discussion because if you're the Kelsey manager that's not in a window right now, you just need to move him. You're not going to rebuild in another 2 to 3 years and have another window around Travis Kelsey, I don't think. You're either not going to have the elite productivity or you're not going to have, or he's not going to be playing.
I'll say this. I think during the startup I did, he was the fourth highest tight end.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, obviously, you know, when you're doing a slow auction, it can be a little different, but
yeah,
you know, it's a 12 team with 3 bids. You're going to generally have the top players up at a relatively good time. So it does add up to it. Yeah, he was actually no, he was yeah, he was the third highest. He was tied for this actually tied for the second highest.
Who's he tied with?
McBride. So
yeah.
This is a weird one. This is a 1350 budget. So Laporta went for just over 200. He was a lot higher than maybe in this one. But anyways, McBride and Kelsey went for 160 apiece.
Yeah.
Fuck is Laporta. Laporta went for 285. Oh my god. He was the seventh highest person.
Laporta.
He was
left?
The highest non quarterback in a super flex, yeah. He's actually
tight end premium.
Yeah, it is, but like he was the highest non quarterback. So it means he's higher than every receiver and every running back.
That's insane.
Yeah, he went
like even at tight end premium, he shouldn't be higher than every receiver.
I love doing these drafts because these guys will go nuts on players that they want. Like Josh Allen went for $500 in a 1350, and Brock Purdy was the fourth highest QB. I love these guys. It's so much fun. But anyways.
Giants and franchise tag Saquon Barkley. He's officially a free agent. I don't care about that. Panthers use tag on Brian Burns. Jets are going to release CJ Uzama. That makes sense. I think I'm still only on yesterday. Am I forgetting anything that you can think of?
Mike Evans.
Mike Evans re-signs with Tampa Bay. 2-year deal?
2-year 51?
2 years, $51 million?
I'll pull it up. I think that's what it was. Mike Evans deal. 2-year 52 mil.
2-year 52 mil. Look, the dude's just produced. He produced with Baker last year. He's doing nothing but producing 1,000-yard seasons. This may wrap him up there, but I think Evans is just, you're going to ride him until the wheels fall off for the most part.
He's basically the Derrick Henry, the modern. Yeah. He is the Derrick Henry at wide receiver. And by all accounts, great because, he's earned it. And Evans stated he wants to retire with the Bucs.
Yeah. So good on them getting something done. Speaking of retiring, be remiss if we didn't mention Jason Kelce hanging up after 13 seasons. Started his career very, very slowly. But then he credited Jeff Stoutland. If you didn't watch the retirement speech, it is a heart-wrenching journey of emotion and positive masculinity and everything that's good about things. Everything that's good about masculinity, the NFL, brotherly love, that came out in that. So, yeah, he was incredible. Surefire Hall of Famer. Got better the older he got, which is rare.
Very, very much.
There's the Evans deal, $52 million. Yep.
I think that's
about it. I don't think
that's the only like
really
major news
end of last week because you had a bunch of combine shit that's probably gunking this up, which we're going to talk to in a minute. Bills are expected to release Nyheim Hines.
They did release Nyheim Hines.
More Bills stuff. Okay, they did.
They released Hines. They release Tre'Davious White.
Saw Tre'Davious White.
Yeah.
All right.
I think those are the only big ones outside of like rumor. I know obviously rumors are going to be flooded all over the place with the new league year started on Wednesday next week, but
yep.
Or Tuesday, Wednesday, Tuesday.
Well,
with that.
Combine breakdown.
All right, we got through the combine, so we're going to talk about the combine now. Start with quarterbacks, so let's talk about quarterbacks again for just a minute. A lot of shit being made out of Caleb Williams' interviews, Caleb Williams' medicals, Caleb Williams' this, that, and the other, and, I get it. had this thought last week. It's like you watch him on the field and the talent's unquestionable, and you can, well, have time to get into that soon enough. The off the field stuff, you know, he's been dragged for maturity. Apparently there were conversations around that that he was receptive to. He didn't give first guy that we know of that didn't consent to getting his medicals to all 32 teams, but the reasoning behind it seems pretty solid, in my opinion,
It's
which is
extremely
just a,
solid. It's what
yeah,
every other
it's,
sport does. It's that part was,
yeah, that part was overblown.
admittedly, it was reported on weird. It was there's absolutely not there's no story. Like, I'm actually glad he did it, and I wish more players would. So
Yeah, I am too. Because really all he did was say that, why do I need to give this to 32 teams? 32 teams can't draft me. When guys, as I meet with teams that are interested and have a shot with drafting me, I'll go through whatever examinations and disclose it, but
exactly.
why am I going to give it to everybody?
Yeah, and it's been spoken
So.
on before that the players don't like it. They don't think it's tedious and time wasted. So
Yeah, so he
I'm
just
all
did
for it.
something about it. Now, the stuff with his dad, that is a little more concerning, trying to loophole contracts and loophole NFL shit. If that's true, it's got some big LaVar Ball energy to it, to me.
It's got LeVar Ball and it's got Odell Beckham's dad, the same way that he forced him out of Cleveland.
Yeah.
Like, it's he's still a rookie. Like, he's not even a rookie yet. Like,
He doesn't have
yes,
an
it's
agent representing
concerning.
him to help with this. He's got parents
Yeah.
involved there, which you end up in distraction front. But then again, this comes down to of how much gamesmanship is going on based on what's being reported. Because as far as most NFL teams know right now, since one way or the other, the Bears are still very, very much on the fence at making this pick, right? So if you're a team that's trying to sway them maybe more towards Fields and off of Williams, you're gonna leak this shit. You're gonna push this shit to the media. You're gonna let this stuff get out and try
Yeah.
to game the Bears into more of a, okay, we're gonna stick with Fields. We don't want this headache, or maybe we'll look at May or whatever. You know, you're gonna try to game that a little bit. And I think there's a lot of that going on, which is gonna throw a lot of negative Caleb Williams' way. Just be careful with that because there is gamesmanship that happens around this, especially when you know the Bears are on the fence and don't have to go quarterback if they don't want to.
It's just he's been the guy for this draft class for 2 years. There's been a microscope underneath him since last year. It's everything, literally everything. He painted his goddamn nails, and people shit on him for it. He got very emotional after a heartbreaking loss, and people shitted on him for it. It's the mixture of toxic masculinity. And not showing emotion. And the fact is we are in pros we're in prospect fatigue right now, and people are just trying to just draw up shit as much as they can to gain engagement too. They're also trying to make money off of this while potentially hurting Caleb's character. And
Didn't Daniels not do measurements?
I don't know if he did or not. I thought he did, but I may be wrong. Hold on.
Maybe
He
it's just
did.
missing on the site. Okay, yeah, 6'3",
He
210. It's just missing on the side I'm on. Weird. Which
he's
is PFF, by the way. Get your shit together. Not like I'm on Bill's NFL info. It's PFF.
I use NFL Gone, but like I just go straight onto the website, and
Well, I
that's
did
where I got
too,
all
but
my.
I couldn't find measurements there, so I had to go elsewhere.
That's fair. There's a guy that There's a guy that did a whole live tweet of all the players that did
Yeah.
anything at the combine. So I went back and used it, went through all of his for height and weight. I don't really care about arm length or hand size season. I know
I don't either. And really, with this
it's a
class,
joke,
there
but it's
was
whatever.
nothing controversial with any of this. All the quarterbacks were the size that they were supposed to be. There's nobody that's rocking like baby hands. Bo
Well,
Nix and
McCarthy's
Joe
got 9-inch
Milton
hands, but he
have
also was like, most people thought he was going to come in sub 200, and he's 219.
219. So,
Like
yeah. He's
he
6 foot
gained some
three,
weight.
219, K 9-inch hands, whatever. You got some pancake hands with Joe Milton and Bo Nix. It's hand size season. But I mean, really,
Yeah.
there's quarterbacks don't really do athletic testing. So I mean, that is what it is.
That'll be Pro Day. I'm expecting more from Pro Day for a lot of these, you know, bigger names. Not, obviously with Caleb May and Daniels and, you know, with the other receivers that we'll get to later.
Yeah. So for running backs, switching over there, we're looking for people to really break out here, right? We were kind of looking at this, talking about there's a lot of guys of size, but some people need to separate themselves. And a couple of guys athletically did that. So I think here's your most impressive performance at the combine. Are you more on, I mean, Isaac Guerrero, pardon me, Louisville running back, had some really impressive metrics, but Trey Benson, size wise, and given where he was at pre, I think probably did the most help his draft stock.
He is like, so in this class, this is basically 2019 without a team reaching for Josh Jacobs. So basically, because we don't have a Bama running back that actually produced, there's no team that's going to pay the Bama tax. You know, Jordan Brooks was most people's consensus RB1. He tore his ACL in November. He's obviously can't test. And then you get guys like Blake Corum, who tore his ACL last year. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's still some lingering effects after fucking Michigan gave him 250 plus carries this year. It's basically clumped. So you get Benson did the most, I think, to help the stock get back up, get himself firmly into the RB2 range or in the round two range, maybe round three. Blake Corum, I think, did absolutely enough to
he didn't
to
do
secure
any,
that.
He didn't do anything to hurt himself. He came in at 31
BMI. Great bench press.
Great
he has
bench
an insane
press.
Agility score for his size. Like
exactly. Good agility. Didn't test for burst. Speed in 40s. Okay, we talked about that with running backs, right? How, you know, the 10 split is almost worth more than the 40, and it was all just fine for the most part.
I think for him is his height is it's less than 5'8". So I went back to see like historically
not a lot
what this looks like. There's three running backs that have been drafted since 2010 in the first three rounds. That's obviously Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Gio Bernard, and then the guy that I comp to a better and more athletic Devin Singletary.
Yeah.
Who got third round DC. And I expect Corum to still get that. It was just surprising because it's like, you know, there's always that one guy that gets super hyped and then he has this odd outlier. Like, you're not going to not draft him because he's small. Like, we've seen these backs, you know, perform. Devin Singletary has been an RB2 for like 3 years straight. Like, it's insane how he just kind of finds himself in that range and he's always disrespected, even though we, you know, both of us don't really like him that much. But Blake's kind of that. No, in his own right, but he's just more productive, did it against better competition, and his athleticism is it's obviously good enough. So
yeah.
And he will get, I think he will get round two DC. I think he'll be the I wouldn't be shocked if he's the first back off the board.
Yeah. Some other guys that did a bit to help themselves. You got George Helani, who came in 5'10", 208, so probably a little light. 23 years old, he is older, but really, really good burst score, good bench score, solid 40. Size-adjusted speed score is not great, not terrible. He's the type of guy that if he lands in a spot with opportunity, you could probably see a little bit out of him. And then Jalen Wright's the other one that jumped out is just having a really, like, solid athletic performance. So, you know, a lot of this with running backs we know comes down to landing spot on draft day, but those are some guys that did a lot to help themselves. Jalen Wright, sub 4.440, 114.1 burst or speed, 131 burst. He's 95th, 96th percentile for athleticism at 5'11", 210. So, you know, not undersized at all.
He was a lot of people. He was kind of the outside top five for a lot of people. He didn't, you know, get a chance to truly shine in Tennessee, but I think he'll find himself in a spot. I think this earned him potentially round three draft capital. But, like, you know, on the flip side, we're going for someone who potentially hurt their stock. Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin. The youngest, he'll be the youngest player in the league. He turned 20 years old in January. So stupid young. Very productive with Wisconsin, but he didn't do the 40. He did both the vert and long jump, and they were terrible. Like, his
Yeah.
burst score is pretty trash because of it. And then it sounds like he didn't run to the 40 because of how bad the vert and long jump was. And hopefully he'll do it at his pro day. But
Yeah.
Brelin was another one of those guys, was a fringe day two, potentially day two, because he's big and he's got great frame, obviously great size, and he was productive with Wisconsin. It was just people were looking at this like, we need something to help separate you from these other guys, and you come out flat
Yeah, and
in this way.
it's hard to come out flat and do something. Like, there's only so many Kyron Williams out there you can totally botch the combine and have a productive NFL
And
season.
he was a fucking mid day three pick. Like,
Right.
no, like, again, one of those guys where, like, you don't expect it to happen because the numbers are bad, right? 40 times obviously overrated for most positions. Running backs are still important because athleticism still matters for running backs. And then, of course, tight ends. But
Yeah.
I mean, you still, can hope to do it. Like, it's not like you're Jonathan Brooks and you're still recovering.
Right. And then let's see. The guy from Notre Dame that totally botched his 40, Audric Estime.
Yeah, he's the Evander. He's the Holyfield.
Elijah Holyfield.
Elijah
Guy
Holyfield of
that
that.
had
Except he's bigger, I think.
solid productivity. He is 5'11", 221. I think Holyfield is bigger, but 4.7, 140. Solid burst score, but bad speed score. So some guys that you'll have to watch that were pretty heralded, but some guys that you're gonna have to watch on their pro days. But again, couple guys that did separate themselves. Jalen Wright. We talked about Helani, we talked about Yurindo. I'll figure out how to pronounce these names at some point, I promise. So Trey Benson. So there are guys, and when we get into film, we'll have a little bit more on kind of who we like, who we don't like, and why based on that. But there are a couple of guys that have managed to separate themselves from the pack with this. So
Yeah.
that's kind of
Yep.
what we're looking for, especially for them. All right. Hit a beer review and then we'll do wide receivers and tight ends.
Sure.
Called it. Ryan said he totally forgot it was tonight, not tomorrow.
Oh,
It's also weird
did
for me. I will admit this is the first time since 2017 I have not been like 60% through film work by the time the combine happens. I'm talking about all these backs, and I've looked at the stats, and now I've looked at the numbers, but I've actually not placed an eye on them
We have
at all.
flip-flopped.
We
Like,
flip-flopped.
I haven't watched a whole bunch of film. I'm not a huge film guy. I'm trying to get better. I've watched the top quarterbacks. Most people's top six. I've watched, I think, four or five running backs. I have all my data entered. I have all the stuff that I've been tracking, throughout my database. And I keep adding in stuff to kind of help gain some more context, but
I've done the data so long that I'm not even really typing it out. I'm just kind of looking at guys and just I know from doing it for so long that it's like, all right, that guy would qualify, that guy would qualify, that guy would qualify, that guy doesn't. And kind of working through that, and then I'll take it with the combine numbers. I'm like, all right, these are like the 10 to 12 guys with the limited time I have that I'm gonna try to watch and sift through and see
yeah.
where it goes or see what happens or what I'm interested in, and play it with landing spot and stuff. But it's a different approach for me this year just because of time and effort and the fact that I guess I know it's the last year. I mean, it's more probably an approach that will be. My approach as a dynasty player, not somebody that's trying to inform others. So,
Yeah.
anyway, how's your beer?
Oh yeah, me. Again, Hailstorm. This is the Irish style red ale, they call it. It's outside. I tend to like my Irish stouts, or at least my Irish ales in this case. I know it's also now, but a little bit drier, a little more malt to it. I mean, there's a lot of malt in this, but it's sweeter malt. So it kind of takes me back a little bit, but it's still solid. This is the first beer I've ever had from Hailstorm. They're one of the more, I think, popular Chicago-based breweries that just hasn't quite made themselves down south yet. I think they're starting to, peep through in the big four downstate cities a little bit. I haven't really seen them in Springfield because I swear to God, everyone fucking skips Springfield. So thankfully, I got mine in Champaign, but
Nice.
it's solid, right? If you like your red ales or your malt based, beers like your Irish at this time of year, if you like them sweeter, then this is a solid choice. Probably not going to get them outside of Illinois, but if you're in Chicago or if you're, in between there and downstate, if you find some Hailstorm, if you get a chance to try the Irish, I would recommend it.
Yeah. So Narragansett is really not known for their lagers necessarily. They're known a lot for their IPAs and their hazies and stuff, but damn, did they do a good job with the Zealous. It's bready, it's malty. You can tell that they paid attention to the craft on this one because a lot of Helleses are. So there's a process in brewing German style beers, decoction mashing. And you can tell from the malt richness when somebody does that versus doesn't do that and tries to cheat it with like a melanoidin based malt. And this has the richness that you can only get from taking great care in how you're crafting it. And it's got that malt richness, the like white bread, like doughiness to it, with hop that comes through and gives it a little bit of floral notes and dries it out some. But it doesn't override that. And I really like, I'm a sucker for malty lagers. So this is like right in my wheelhouse on
Yeah.
this one. So I think they did an incredible job. It's not Dovetails, but nothing is. So I mean it's right up there. Though it's one of the better ones that I've had. You can tell that there's care into the craft here. And that to me with lagers is important because like they're not bad when people try to short them, but they don't have that richness that only comes out when you take the time to go through that decoction process and do things the right way.
Yeah, like, if you drink enough of them, especially when you drink a lot of them from like different breweries and different sizes, from your bigger craft breweries to your actual traditional craft breweries, and then to your microbrews, which is, your small breweries around your town, you can notice differences, especially in water source. Like, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ, water source is a big thing, or how they decide to. How they decide to basically craft their water to be used for,
Yeah.
for brewing. It's a big difference.
It is a big
And it,
difference.
and in a beer like a lager, which you can't hide anything, it's definitely going to shine through more.
Yeah. Yep. So, anyway, incredible job by those guys. All right.
They're great. They are more than a hazy brewery,
They are
for
more than a
those of
hazy
you who know
brewery.
that. They actually make
Absolutely.
quality beers.
Absolutely. All right. Moving on to wide receivers. We'll get to the record-breaking performance in a bit. None of the top guys ran, right?
Roman
None.
Dusay did. So it's
Rome did, but
just
Neighbors
Neighbors
and
and Harrison did not.
Harrison did not. So, looking up and down here, again, I'm not seeing. Just looking at the top. Ooh, I guess Cowan coming in at 5'8", 168 is probably pretty not good.
His is odd because it's he was just so fucking productive with Arizona. And
Yeah.
then he obviously is a slot receiver, where I
The
think
backside,
athleticism
yeah.
isn't quite as needed. And I don't know if Cowan's gonna even be
Actually, let me look at this real quick.
a day two, day three guy, but his overall profile is interesting. It's just his he did not test well. I think he's also coming off of an injury, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I had a good 40, but I mean, one of the things I look at for undersized slot receivers is their agility score. I mean, we've noticed that in several guys where everything else can suck if you're going to be a slot receiver. If you have a good agility score, you can beat people with route running.
You
is
need,
kind of what it equates
yes.
to.
You also need some speed to it. Like, you don't want to go out there and run a sub, 4.7 or nothing, but
No, you need to be in the high 4.5s, low 4.6s, but
yeah.
you can get away with that not terrible, but lower end of average 40 time if you destroy the agility drills. We've seen that profile hit quite a few times, but he didn't do that. And again, I'm just kind of going through live reaction here. Some of the guys that caught my eye, Marvin Harrison is exactly as advertised. Let's see, who else do we got?
You
Jordan
asked me.
Leggett
Like I said, I got them all put in.
is advertised. Ladd McConkey is advertised. Jalen McMillan is advertised. I mean, there's again, we're not in an area of what Neighbors coming at.
Neighbors and Tess.
He
So
didn't.
Neighbors and Harrison.
He didn't. Me
Rome.
he
Rome
didn't
did
measure.
everything. I'm sure he measured. Neighbors was,
They
maybe a
don't
good.
have. They don't have him in on this either. Is, yeah. Rome is 6'3", 212. Like, dude's a monster.
Rome is, man, he was already considered a top 10 pick. I still feel
Yeah.
like he made money with this. So what's cool
Dude,
about
Brian
him
Thomas is
is
fucking
that,
huge too. My God.
yeah, so what's cool about Rome is that after everyone left the field on Saturday night, he went back and did multiple three cone drills to try to break the record. Like, there's a lot of nuance to why I think Rome is going to end up, like, he could be drafted above Neighbors. Like, no one's going above Harrison at this point, but
No, he could.
it's just Rome had a great one. Brian Thomas had like a
Brian
top 10. I
Thomas
think
is
Brian Thomas had a
incredible.
top 10, I think a top 10 RAS score. Like,
Yeah.
he fucking killed it. It's just, I
Did
don't
Mike.
think a wide receiver ruined their stock
No,
at
I don't.
all. Like it was solid across the board for all the big names, and
Your
which is really
worst. Your worst try to see for 40 time is 4.63. That's pretty fucking good.
There's this one felt like finally we got a combine that delivered on the hype that we were promised. It felt like the last, I don't know how many years, it's been kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
This one felt like everyone that was supposed to do well did well. And it's just, and you got guys, you got some guys that are coming out of the woodwork, the wide out from Florida, Ricky Purcell, like,
Yeah.
or Ricky Purcell,
Ricky,
like,
yeah.
he is flying up people's boards as he should. Obviously both Texas receivers, and we can, we'll talk about
Holy
Worthy when you're
hell.
ready.
Yeah, Ricky Pearsall just
He
destroyed
like it went
everything. My
it
God.
was it was funny because he's your traditional white guy that tested exceptionally well. Like, I'm interested to see how he's gonna
Where he
end
lands
up.
and how that I'm interested to
He's
watch
going
him.
day
Oh.
two. He's easily
Yeah.
going day two. Like, I think some guy, from paper predicted we're gonna have eight receivers in the first round, which would be
Maybe.
historic. I think we're also gonna break the day one, day two record. Like, with the wide receiver free agent pool being dried up or getting more dry, with all the top guys either
They're
being
getting locked
franchised
up or
signing,
franchise tagged or. Yeah.
people are going to be reaching. They're going to be drafting these guys. And there's a flavor for fucking everything. Like, you want big and fast that can run nine routes? Brian Thomas Jr. right there for you. You want speedy slot guy that can do fucking everything? I don't know if Worthy is going to be a slot guy, but speedy outside guy that can fucking take it to the house. You have
Dude, Worthy
high.
is like.
He's tiny.
Has there ever been a player that's been more stamped with Kansas City?
Dude, it's everywhere. Like, people were doing either him or the other wideout from Texas, Mitchell. One of
Yeah.
those two were supposed to go to Kansas City. Worthy feels like he has. I don't know if he's gonna be there. The dude just
Yeah.
broke the fucking 40 record. Like, it may be overrated for for the position, but the NFL still loves speed, and I think he's gonna get drafted high. And like, I don't know if he'll reach the Henry Ruggs levels of being drafted high or John Ross by any means, but teams are going to block over him in just these ways. Like, oh my God, we can use him on screens and short throws. Just put, just get the ball in his hand and watch him go to work. And, even though he's 165.
Yeah. And yep. I don't really got anything else to say there. Like, Worthy just absolutely destroyed him from a speed perspective. And like you said, there's no wide receiver that had a dud performance that, I mean, in general, for the most part, but definitely not really anybody that had a dud performance that you were expecting to be.
So the one name that people threw out that if they didn't watch any of the combine or didn't watch any, like, or didn't see highlights of his gauntlet drill, Keon Coleman from Florida State. A lot of people were surprised that he ran a 4.61. If you go back and watch his gauntlet drill, he ran the fastest, like he got through it the quickest. Mm-hmm. And looked fucking smooth as hell, like it like fucking butter. So it's one of those things where, you know, you watch that and you go, fine, like you're in a slow 40, like who fucking cares? Because if you watch him go through that gauntlet drill, it was nuts.
Well, the threshold for 40 on wide receivers is not what a lot of people think it is. Let me go pull it up real quick.
Well, I know it's not high. It's just, you know, people's expectations for Coleman was like.
No, I get that. I'm not saying this to argue with you, but.
Well, like, no, I know.
4.60 is the threshold that I've typically used. So, you know, to hit 4.61, 4.62, okay. Like, that's kind of whatever. You know, it's really when you get north of 4.65 that without other redeeming qualities that you start to have a problem there.
Yeah, he's also, you know, 203, he's 6'3", 213.
Yeah, if he can
catch, he's at Rome's athleticism, well, but, and yeah.
Then, you know, it is what it is. But, again, you're going to see, I do think, if last year didn't have any true ones, this year has several that can be true ones.
It's got, dude, it's
based on size. I said
there's wide receiver ones,
everything,
flankers, fucking X, Y, yeah. Z guys. Like, you got the guy from, you know, from Western Kentucky, Malachi Corkley, like, who was basically just a slot screen guy for that team because he's a hyper athlete and they just want to put the ball in his hands. Like,
yeah.
This class is littered with everything, which is why I think we're going to see so many of them drafted high as teams are trying to fill out their wide receiver roles and that, you know, and that depth chart. Like, we're going to get around four guys that are going to be, that could be big names just because you're going to see, you know, talent suppressed down because this year's class is so, you know, pooled up with good ones. Yeah.
All right. And tight ends, you know, obviously, we didn't get.
This is not a good class outside of Bowers. Yeah, and like, this is a pretty,
why,
you know.
I couldn't think of Bowers. I don't know. We didn't get Bowers testing. Ben Sinnott looks like he did probably the most to, from an athleticism perspective, to help that.
Theo Johnson from Penn State was probably your big winner. Like, had a great day, 4.57. You know, 90th percentile, like his 85 plus percentile on pretty much everything besides agility score.
Yeah.
So it's
6.59. So the guy's huge and hugely athletic. Moderate production.
Yeah. Again, tight ends are obviously very difficult to find, right? Guys are either productive as receivers and we're a part of the offense. AK Brock Bowers, or they're hyper athletes, and you hope that in 2 to 3 years they can be, you know, coached up and they can be involved because they're just an athlete at that position. But this isn't really the year for tight ends.
We got spoiled last year.
We got we don't know how spoiled we got, I think, until shit comes back down to earth and we realize we haven't had rookie year productions like that ever.
Right. Right. And this year you're looking at probably getting spoiled by the wide receiver class compared to the last couple.
If it's going to feel like 2020 and 2014, I think all over again. We're going to get 2014's level of early production. We're probably going to get, you know, the longevity of that class plus what we've seen so far from 2020. And then, you know, we're going to get some – we're in a very big luxury of top people.
Indeed. All right. Anything else on the combine before we wrap this thing?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think there's anything else that really jumped out that I want to talk about. I think in general that nobody really hurt themselves. A couple running backs, maybe not quite what we thought, but
Bo Nix probably hurt himself the most.
Did he?
I he had a bad Senior Bowl. He didn't have a great combine, drills. especially during the passing drills. And I still think he goes potentially late day two, but he may have fallen out of that chance. And Spencer Rattler probably solidified himself as a day three pick, even though some people were claiming he could be day two after a strong Senior Bowl.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the show. We'll be back next week to talk about something. I don't know what we're doing. I got Dynasty 101 down as a primer and a prep, but I don't know if that's what we're going to do or not. Maybe we'll do an auction episode.
We got free agency. We can do early free agency talk.
We can.
We're going to be 2 days into it by that point.
Are we?
Sirs, free agency opens on Wednesday. The new league year is Wednesday next week. March 13th.
Tampering period.
Probably Monday. Be my guess. Generally, it's a day or two before it starts.
I thought I had that lined up right. Hold on. March. Training period. No, it's March 11th through 13th. Okay, we're going to do free agency next week because for some reason I had that shifted off. I don't know why.
Yeah, we're going to get all of our tampering shit on Monday, and then
we'll do free agency next week. I'm an idiot.
We're going to have a lot to talk about. Probably.
I had that off by a week. So, yeah. Okay. Free agency next week. Yay.
new league year. It's already here. New fucking league year. Nuts, man.
All right. Take care, guys.
See ya.